You can take your Bibles and go to Psalm 67 if you like. I want to share with you something that we want to place in our library for future generations to have, because it's something that, as long as the United States remains the country that it is and remains free as a republic, we'll be able to exercise, and we should understand. And it's something that is doctrine from the Word of God, and it's truth from the Word of God, and truth doesn't change. It bridges all generations. There are things in the Word of God that change. There are administrations, there are gifts, there are ministries, but truth always remains the same. And what I want to share with you tonight is regarding a Christian and their privilege and obligation to vote. Very simply, should Christians vote? Now, we've just come through a tremendous election, and that in itself, for people living today, should be proof enough that Christians should vote. Because there were many men of God that took this election seriously because they saw where the country was headed. They saw the laws and the bills that were being introduced into our government and funneling down to our schools so that we could teach our children the wrong things, you know, into our colleges. So it happened there, and they got involved. Franklin Graham took it upon himself to visit every state in our country to encourage Christians to register to vote and get out and vote. We ourselves went to a film the other night. It was called Revive Me, where a group of Christians from across the country rented movie theaters, and we were encouraged to go and vote. There were websites that were set up to tell us to go and vote. What brought this on is that I was speaking with someone recently about voting, and they informed me that some Christians don't feel that it's necessary to vote. And some of the reasoning behind that was that they didn't want to get involved with the politics of this world. And they were taught this. So this reminded me that statement that they didn't think that they needed to vote, that it wasn't important to vote. That reminded me of a movie that I was very fond of. As my children were growing up, and I still watch it this day occasionally. And the movie was The Ninja Turtles. Now, I don't know if it was the first Ninja Turtles movie or the second Ninja Turtles movie, whichever one it was, I'm not sure. But there are four Ninja Turtles, and there are Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo. They're the four Ninja Turtles. Now, each Ninja Turtle has its own distinct personality. They talk a certain way. They have their own personality. You have one that's real smart. He's a scientific-type turtle. And you got one that is methodic. He thinks things through. You got one that's a kid. He acts like a goof all the time. And then you got Michelangelo. Michelangelo is cocky. He's abrasive. He's aggressive. And he wants you to get things done real quick, fast, right away. And he's the one that you can't control sometimes. And he flies off the handle and he does dumb things and whatever. Well, Michelangelo, as his nature was, had a fight with the other turtles. And the problem was, they've been given all of these great abilities. They've been given all of these great skills. They've practiced ninja for so many years. Michelangelo wants to go out and fight in the world, but his master, Splinter, who is a rat, he's not a turtle, he says ninjas must practice the art of invisibility. And he got mad about that because he wanted to do things his way. And in the scene of the movie, he goes to, he gets dressed up, and he has his raincoat on and he has his hat on. And he goes to this movie theater and he watches the movie. And the next scene is him coming out of the movie theater, looking back at the movie theater, and the headline on the movie theater, I think, read Critters. And he shakes his head and he says, where did they come up with this stuff? Right? It was like so unbelievable. Now, this is coming out of the mouth of a Ninja Turtle. And he himself says, where did they come up with these things? Where did they come up with this stuff? Well, see, that's what I think of when I hear Christians say, you don't need to vote. It's not necessary to vote. The Bible doesn't care whether you vote. It's not important. So I say to myself, where do they come up with these things? Where do they come up with this stuff? Well, sadly, the answer is they come up with this stuff because that's what they're taught. Misinstructed and underinstructed and misinformed teachers, ministers, many of them, clergy, ordained, teach that lie that a Christian should not get involved in the voting process, in the politics of the world, in government at all. And so, most of the people, they don't take the time to research the Word of God for themselves. They listen to what the minister speaks, and lo and behold, you have a bunch of little clones coming out of church on Sunday, mimicking what the teacher said, and they just simply repeat it like a parrot without giving it any mind or any thought. We're not supposed to vote. We shouldn't get involved with the things of this world. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about righteous government. Okay, that may be surprising to some, but that's the truth of the Word of God. That's what it's about. The future kingdom of God is all about the righteous government of God through Jesus Christ here on earth. The millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years when the Lord comes back and rules from Jerusalem. It's all about politics. It's all about the government of this world, the eternal kingdom of God. It's all about the righteous government of God for mankind. The day of the Lord is when he will come and straighten these things out, and the kings and the nations of the earth will rise up against him because their government will oppose his government. It's always, always, always been about government and the government of this world and how it's to be ruled. It's always been that way from the beginning right to the end. And I'm going to show you that from the Word of God tonight. You see? Today is man's day. Man gets to make the rules. Man gets to make the regulations. Man gets to do what he feels is right. But there's a day coming in the future where it's not going to be man's day. It's going to be the Lord's day. And then the Lord is going to exact righteous judgment and government on the earth. In Psalm 67, beginning in verse 1, it says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that the way, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the what? Upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall what? Well, you know, if the ends of the earth are going to fear him, the knowledge of God has to be distributed throughout the earth. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. And as long as the voting process in the United States remains free, and we continue to elect our officials the way we elect them, this teaching will be applicable. And if the Lord should tarry, if it's hundreds of years, and we're still doing things the same way with regards to the voting process, this is the truth. And this is why it can bridge, and this is why I feel it's important to record this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what?
The government
shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his what?
Government
and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will what? You see, the government is laid upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And when he sits on the throne in Jerusalem, he will exercise and execute that righteous government over the nations of the earth. It's all about government. It's always been about government. And people who are righteous and good people being in positions of government so that they can distribute the word of God properly, so that they can make fair judgments, so that they can make right decisions. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Even in the church, God has set an order of government because he doesn't want things to be in chaos. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. What?
Governments.
Diversity of tongues. There's different governments, there's different functions in the church, and people have to fill those functions, and they have to govern in those offices properly and accurately and godly. And that's how the church is to run. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice where?
In
the earth. If you're going to have a king, and you're going to have a reign, and you're going to have someone executing judgment and justice, you got to have a government to do that. That's what it's talking about. In his days, Judah shall be safe, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. It's talking about Jesus Christ and the future administration and the future government that's going to be set up here on the earth to govern the nations of the world. See? Jesus Christ. So do you think that Jesus is involved in government? Do you think that God is involved in government? Well, look at Genesis 42. Show you what happens when there's righteous people elected to positions of government, or when righteous people are appointed to positions of government. Genesis 42, verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among them that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now, you know the story. Pertains to Joseph. Jimmy taught this a couple weeks ago about Joseph. Verse 6, and Joseph was the what?
Governor.
It was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came, etc., etc. Joseph was in a position of authority. He was a political leader, you would call him today. He was a governor. And because he was a governor over the land, and because God spoke to him, because he was a righteous man, he was able to put Egypt in a position where they stored up and they had plenty. And when God's people had need, guess what? They were able to bless those people. See, that's what government can do. That's what righteous government can do. Well, Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. You see? We are responsible and accountable to steward that which God has given us. Now, the same people who say, oh, we don't get involved in political things, we don't want to vote, are the same people who will take to the nth degree that which God has given them to steward it. Whether it be a shirt or a coat or a car, God has entrusted this to me. I have to take care of it. I have to steward it. And they'll hold on to it for years and years and years. They'll polish it. They'll sing it to bed at night. They'll do all of these wonderful things. And yet, when God has given us the earth and he has given us the ability to elect our officials to help steward this earth and steward the things of God, they throw out the idea of stewardship out the window. Now, if you're going to be consistent and you're going to be a steward, be a steward. You understand? Be a steward all the way through. You have no right to pick and choose what you think is right and wrong according to the scriptures. It is the scripture that defines the truth of God's word. Well, Psalm 115, talking about being a steward. Look at verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of what? Amen. Now, if he's given you something, you should take care of it, right? Sure, it's right. The Bible says he's given it to the children of men. He's entrusted it to us. So we should be able to steward that. We should take that trust that he's given to us seriously. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Does the gospel stop at the steps of Washington? See? Does the gospel stop at the steps of politics? No. The Bible says go and preach the gospel to the people all of the world. You understand? Everybody. That doesn't exclude Washington. But when we refuse to get involved in such a simple thing as a voting process, how are we ever going to preach the gospel? See, we take our light when it comes to politics a lot of times and to voting, and we put it under a bushel and we hide it from them. And what we say is, oh, that's the world, they're evil, they'll never change. Well, that's not true. Who are you to judge them? You were evil one time. People maybe said about you, you'll never change one time. But somebody got to you with the word of God. Is it not possible that someone could get to Washington with the word of God? But it'll never get to Washington with the word of God if people have that attitude. Never. You condemn them instead of blessing and loving them. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the what?
Earth.
Man's supposed to have dominion over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it,
and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. They were to have dominion. Adam was to have dominion. He was to have dominion. The word dominion means to reign or to rule. They were to rule over. And one of the things that God told Adam to rule over was the earth. You understand? He was to have dominion. He was to reign over the earth. In order to rule, you need power and authority to do this. You need to be able to govern, to manage, to administrate, to lead, to direct, to instruct, to regulate, etc. You need to set up some form of government in order to rule, in order to reign. Reign is equivalent with a king. It would go synonymous. A king rules. Adam was God's under-ruler here on the earth. And in order to do so, you have to have doctrine, you got to have reproof, you got to have correction, you got to have government. You got to have rules and regulations in order to rule. You got to have a government. Now, in our day and in our time, you basically have three forms of government. Now, you can go to college and you can study all the other forms, but all the other forms basically break down to these three forms of government. The first is called a republican kind of government. It's a republic. A literal democracy is impossible in a political system containing more than a few people. You see, all the democracies are really republics. In a republic, the people elect representatives to make and enforce laws. That's what a republic does. The next type of government you have is what's called a monarchy. A monarchy consists of a king or a queen. The rule of a king or a queen. Sometimes a king may be renamed or called an emperor, especially if it's a large empire like China before 1911. There are no large monarchies today. The United Kingdom, which has a queen, is really a republic because the queen virtually has no political power. She's a figurehead, so to speak. The third type of government that's in existence today is called a dictatorship. Dictatorship. A dictatorship consists of rule by one person or by a group of people. Very few dictators today admit that they are dictators. They almost always claim to be leaders of democracies. The dictator may be one person. For instance, Castro in Cuba, Hitler in Germany, or a group of people such as the Communist Party in China. This is a dictatorship. We are blessed to have a republic type of government. And in a republic type of government, the people elect their representatives who in turn make laws and enforce them. And we're blessed to have that type of government. This is why I often remark that government is just a reflection of the people. Okay? Because if people put them there and they know that they're dirt balls, it just shows you what kind of people put them there. Now, we have already established that God commissioned man from the very beginning in Genesis to rule over the earth. Genesis 1:26 through 28, Psalm 115, verse 16, Proverbs 29:2, and Jeremiah 23:4. The same charge to watch over or to guard that was given to Adam to rule is entrusted to us today. In Adam's case, there was not a lot of people around to contend with. At the time Adam was ruling, at the time that Adam was in rule, okay, there was him and Eve. That was it. Now, you had the animals, of course, but he didn't have a problem with the animals. Nonetheless, God told Adam to subdue the earth, to replenish the earth, and to be fruitful in what?
Multiply.
So there were going to be lots of people. We all came from Adam. No matter what color you are, what nationality you are, we all came from Adam and Eve. They're our great, 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 great trillion back grandfather and grandmommy. Okay? So we all share that common ancestry. So take your little leaps on ancestor.com and that's where you are. All right. Adam was commanded by God. He was empowered and he was given authority and he was given command. Rule. Govern the earth. Subdue it. In our day, the charge is the same, but we implement it through the voting process in which we elect men and women who will represent our best interest on Capitol Hill. That's how we rule today. We elect people to get our will done, which is hopefully God's will done, on Capitol Hill. That's how we govern. We enjoy great deliverance and blessings because godly men and women who were in political offices took a stand in government. Many godly laws were passed as a result of these believers. These were the believers that declared all men were created equal and have a God-given right to be free. That didn't come from the devil. The devil is the author of bondage and slavery. It came from Christians who read the Bible and then took the Bible and implemented it into government and then set laws, rules, and regulations freeing the slaves. That's how important it is for Christians to be involved in politics. See? Christians should be involved in government. Who better to judge than an instructed believer with an accurate knowledge of God's word when you come before him? Who better to judge? Because you know today, that's not the way it works. You know today, the cue's already in when you walk in the door. Or it's what party you're from, or it's who likes this, or it's what nationality, or what gender you are. But who better to judge righteously than an unbiased believer with an accurate knowledge of God's word? Take, for instance, the two harlots that came before Solomon in the beginning of his reign. Who better to make that decision and settle that case righteously than a believer? And did he settle it righteously?
Yes.
He sure did. Sure did. There is a perfect example of what happens when a believer is in a position of authority to execute righteousness and judgment. What about exartheses in Nehemiah 2, or Ahasuerus, however you want to pronounce the word? When he went to him and he said, "What's going on?" And he said, "You're just sad, man. What's happening?" He said, "The wall's this." He said, "You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He says, "You have my permission to go back and rebuild those walls. And not only do you have my permission, I'm going to fund the whole project. And I'm going to make sure that the governors of the land and the state police don't bother you and you can travel as fast as you want." And that's what he did. Because it was a righteous man in government and God was able to work in his heart. And did the wall get built?
Yes.
Sure did. Did they have opposition? Yeah, they did, but they kept working through it. See? What happens when there's an unrighteous person in an office of authority? Well, take, for instance, Saul with the case of the Amalekites. He lied.
when Samuel confronted him. And Samuel said, what's this bleeding of the sheep in my ears, and who's this guy over here? And Saul just turned around and said, well, I did. And you know what? That's what you hear from politicians all day long. They lie at one end after the other. You know why? Because people haven't reached them with the word, because Christians have turned their backs for the most part, and because Christians stay away from government. Okay. You had this guy, Bush, Jeb Bush, signed a piece of paper, national TV, agreed to stand with the nominee of the Republican Party. It could have been Democrat, it could have been Cocker Spaniel, it doesn't matter. He agreed, and this man is in a position of authority, signed a piece of paper, and you know what he said? I'm voting Democrat. Nothing against the Democrats, but that's what he said. And not only did he what he wanted to do, but he had to stand out and voice that opinion. Now, there's a man that doesn't belong to be in authority, because you know what that tells me? You can't trust him. And he's a Republican. Okay? So that doesn't mean that this one's better than that one. That's the kind of stuff you got going on, and it will continue to go on unless somebody gets involved and changes it. And people aren't going to be able to get involved and change it unless they are voted into office. That's how you affect change in our day and in our time. John Jay, who was the original Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, once said, Providence has given to us, our people, the choice of their leaders. And it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest, of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. I don't know where that thinking has went. See? You know where it's went? It went because people stand behind pulpits like this and tell their churches, don't get involved, you don't have to vote, don't get involved with the world. That's where it went. The people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If that body be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of that nation did not aid in controlling the political forces. A minister said that. His name was Reverend James A. Garfield. He was also a United States president. Okay? And he understood that years and years and years ago. Dr. Warwell would often quote a man, and I can't remember who it was, but he would say something like this: the devil's voting against you, God's voting for you, but you determine the election. You determine who wins. You determine the election. You can't determine an election unless you cast your vote. You understand? By doing nothing, you determine nothing. Now, I know that there's a lot of religious Christian thinking out there. Okay? And I know they've been taught a lot of lies with regards to this subject. Lies like, my citizenship is in heaven. I don't have to worry about what goes on down here. Lies like, I'm storing myself treasures up in heaven, not worrying about the world down here. Et cetera, these sorts of things. And I know a lot of people that will listen to this tape, CD, however it's going to be reproduced in the future, won't like my voice, won't like my character.
don't like the way I come across. Then I would say to them, try to put that aside and try to listen to the truth I'm teaching you. Because it's real easy to find fault with me. You understand? But don't find fault with me to hurt to yourself. If what I'm telling you is the truth, then glorify God. Take hold of the truth. And don't worry about the messenger and my inadequacy or inability to communicate it properly. All right? I'm just asking you to view the teaching in light of the context of what's being presented and not the presenter. If you think that your citizenship is in heaven and that's where it ends, or that you're going to store up treasures in heaven and that's where it ends, you just keep on thinking that way. Because it was that kind of thinking and ultimately the forfeiture of action that led to the greatest Holocaust in history. And I'm not talking about Adolf Hitler either. I'm talking about the almost 60 million abortions that have taken place in the United States since Roe versus Wade in 1973. 60 million. That's a lot more deaths than a few million, which was horrible, that Hitler was responsible for. And you think, and that's the United States. That's the great Holocaust. Over 7 million of those deaths, abortions, provided for since 1970 by Planned Parenthood. And nearly 300,000, as I checked the running clock just this morning on these numbers, nearly 300,000 abortions alone this year. That's the great Holocaust, my friends, and it's right under our nose and nobody recognizes it. And you don't think you should vote? Christians don't think that they should vote? That's just one example. When you get Supreme Court justices that are appointed who disrespect God and promote sin and call it equality, or they call it diversity, and then you got the nerve to complain about what's going on in the world, and then you don't vote because lawmakers who threaten to arrest you if you don't conform to the sinful regulations that were able to be passed because you sat on your butt and you did nothing to stop it, because you don't think a Christian should vote. Well, riddle me this. Now I'm going to take you somewhere that you've never been. Luke. The New International Version of Luke 4, verse 6 says this. He said unto him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, talking about the temptations of Jesus Christ and the devil, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anybody I want. The New Jerusalem translates that same verse, for it has been handed over to me, and I can give it to anybody I choose. You know who handed it over to the devil? Adam. You know how he handed over to the devil? You know who you don't find saying anything in Genesis? Adam. For you, those of you who don't vote, who were taught that it's not important to vote, or you don't think that it's God's will for you to vote, he did exactly what you do on election day. Nothing. That's what Adam did. Look at Genesis 3. Adam was there, right by Eve's side. Come up here, sweetheart. Not you, that sweetheart. But you are a sweetheart, too. Adam, sorry, honey, kicking you under the bus. The whole world is going down because of you.
Not really. Yes. An apple. This is where Eve was. I need a devil. Come here. Okay, anyway, who's this, Adam? This is where it was. Look, don't go away. If you get tired, you can put your arms down. But if not, you're good. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband. This is an English Standard Version. Who was with her, and he what?
Ate.
Give our representative devil a hand, and our Eve a hand. Be seated. He was right by her side. Now, I want you to see this, because this is excellent. He was right by her side. And you know what Adam did? He did nothing. You know what was entrusted to Adam? The government of the earth was entrusted to Adam. Adam was the ruler. He had rulership. He had governorship. He was the one. And you know what? He didn't say a word. He didn't cast his vote yay or nay. He didn't interfere. He sat home on election day and he said, I'm not getting involved. And because he didn't get involved, who did the government of the earth, the lease and the government, the right to rule the earth, go to? And what does the Bible say? They're pointing at you, John. I'm sitting behind your back. It went to John. And what does the Bible say in Luke? It has been handed over to me. That's what it says. You see it? He didn't speak up. He didn't get involved. But this is what I want you to see. It was because of his silence and failure to act that the Bible says he handed over the lease and the right to govern the earth to Satan. Likewise, when you fail to vote for people who will further the cause of the Bible, no matter how small it may be at times, we hand our government and the future of our children and our grandchildren over to ungodly people. You see it? Now that's the lie. And that lie is the same lie that got Adam to keep his mouth shut. He didn't do anything. And the lie was just taken, twisted, they put a tie on it, and they fed it back to the people in our day, in our generation, coming from these pulpits that say, oh, you don't have to vote. Don't get involved in politics. Don't worry about the government. They're all corrupt anyway. And when you take that lie and you swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, you hand over your right to govern, your right to choose, your right to put godly people in positions where they can cause effect right over to the devil. You see it? Amen. When we fail to care enough to vote for those who hold biblical principles, we hand our freedoms and rights once again back to the devil, who then oppresses us and torments us with ungodly rules and regulations and laws. He's the one behind it all. Adam stood there and he said nothing. He said nothing. Now, I can understand why he said nothing, because it only involved the government of the whole world. So he just said nothing because it wasn't that important. He stood there and said nothing. God ordained him as the governor. He ordained him as the under-ruler of God on the earth. Subdue it, have dominion. He was the boss. You know what he did? He handed it over to the devil. You know how he handed it over to the devil? By doing nothing.
by doing nothing. You know why the evil spread in the Corinthian church of the guy who was sleeping with his father's wife? By doing nothing. That's how it spread. And what did Paul say? You should rather mourn than rejoice. You're proud of this? See, when you do nothing, it's something for the devil. You give up your rights. John 3, you know this, verse 16. Listen to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
Listen, God so loved the world. It's a figure. It's talking about the people of the world. You understand? What did the people of the world, or were they any different then than they are now? Were they not evil people in the world too? But yet the Word of God says that God so loved. God so loved. Does God's love and salvation not extend to Pennsylvania Avenue? Is this not included in the uttermost parts of the world in Acts 8, 1-8? According to George Barna, in his book, The Second Coming of the Church, the number of Christians that registered to vote in a poll taken in 1997 was 83%, as compared to the 79% of non-Christians. Then in a more recent report regarding Christians who vote, wallbuilders.com reported that from 1992 to 2000, there was a 40% decrease in Christians who voted. 40% gave up their rights, handed it over to the devil. Who's teaching them 40% that? People from the lectern? They also reported that out of 60 million evangelicals in America in 2000, only 15 million voted. And that some 24 million evangelicals were not even registered to vote because they didn't care enough. Because they were told, store up treasures in heaven. You're not of this world. They were told lies like that out of context. If we have complaints about those in leadership that are immoral and the new laws that have been passed are offensive and anti-biblical, we might lay the complaint at the steps of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all them that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Is it unreasonable to conclude that if the Lord would have us pray for our leaders, would he not also want us to use every opportunity to assist in electing the leaders who would be the best ones for promoting peace and righteousness? Go to Song of Solomon. We're going to close here. Let me show you something. If you can't find it, just listen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now you got to understand something. You got to understand how a grapevine grows. Being an Italian, I know how a grapevine grows. Every year, or when we go down to Ocean City, we walk past this house near the beach that has an arch. And at the bottom of the arch is the vine. And the vines twist it like this, grows up, 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 up. And when it gets to the top, It goes across. And when it gets to the top, you know what it does? It drops clusters of grapes and leaves. Like this. They're suspended down. And then when you get over here, the vine, the grapes and the leaves stop. And it twists down like this again. Goes into the earth. That's the grapevine. The vine comes from here. You get it off the ground and the grapes are suspended. Sometimes we put them on trellises or something. You'll see them if people grow grapes, okay? Look at the scripture. Take us the foxes. The little foxes. You know little foxes? It's a pup. It's a baby. It's a small one. It's not a mature fox. It's a pup. That spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Foxes, sometimes in search of food, would enter into the grape orchards. And they would devour the grapes and spoil the crops. Okay? However, the little foxes were too small to reach the grapes. So you know what they would do instead? They chew on the vine. They chew on the vine. And by them chewing on the vine would cause more damage than just taking a cluster of grapes, because it would kill the whole vine. You understand? And instead of the farmer losing his crop, he would lose the whole vine, which is more disastrous. Spiritually, some of the things that we allow or that we think may be just insignificant, like, oh, I don't vote, oh, I don't get involved in that kind of stuff, can have devastating, disastrous effects on us. I'm going to give you some of the little foxes that generally keep us from our civic duties, and particularly voting. Here are some of the little foxes. Not the great big, the little ones. My vote doesn't count anyway. I'm disillusioned by the whole political process. I'm already too busy to take time to cast an informed vote. So I just don't vote at all. Politicians are corrupt anyway. And as a Christian, I don't want to get involved. Ew, I don't want to get near that. God so loved the ew, I don't want to get near that. God so loved the ew, I don't want to get near that, because it's talking about people, that he sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ so loved the ew, I don't want to get near that, that he gave his life for. So who in the hell are you to say, ew, I don't want to get near that, they're too corrupt. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. See? Should a Christian vote? Absolutely. How should a Christian vote? He should be informed. Listen carefully. And not according to the media. They are the worst. There are godly websites you can go to where you can get the facts. American Family Association is one of them. You can go to that website. Look at the facts. They'll give you the truths about the parties and where the political candidates stand on the issues. You can go to wallbuilders.com. You can go to Truth in Action Ministries. These are all people, all Christian ministries that are involved that will give you the truth. You can go to the Christian Coalition about voting on the internet. You see, be informed, then pray, and then you vote for the candidate who best represents biblical values. I didn't say perfectly represents them, because perfection's in the Lord and the Lord's not here right now in person, so to speak. So from what I've shared with you, from the scriptures, would you say that it's important for a Christian to vote?
Yes.
You see, if Adam would have took that responsibility of government seriously, none of us be in the mess we're in. But he handed it over. And that's what you do. You hand over your right to affect government and to affect change when you refuse to vote. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that people would listen to this, Father.
in the years to come, and that you would work quietly in their hearts and minds, Father. And it's not a matter of making fun of anybody or a matter of being right or wrong. It's a matter of what does the Word say. And that you have given us this beautiful land, this beautiful country. You have given us the right to steward it, the privilege to steward it. And one of the easiest ways that we can steward it, Father, one of the simplest ways we can steward it, is to take our privilege and responsibility to vote for men and women who will represent you to the best of their ability and put them in office. Father, for those that have been negligent in this area, it's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of wake up. It's a message of enlightenment. It's a message of hope, Father, that people put the world into this mess and people can get it out. But they have to get off of their butts and they have to do something. Father, bless your people, not only today, but for the generations to come, should the Lord tarry. And let's take part in our political process, Father, while we still have a government that allows us to do so, and we realize the importance of what it is to vote as Christians. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.